What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast.
I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
And on this episode, we have Tanya. I read Tanya's story on Reddit. Weird, I know. We've been getting a lot of Reddit stories, but it turns out there's a ton of good ghost stories on Reddit.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? You know? So we got to get these people on to tell their stories. So Tanya, you want to introduce yourself for our audience?
Hi, my name's Tanya. I live in Houston, Texas. And I'm excited to be here.
So what we usually do at the beginning of the podcast is to kind of find out where our guest falls on the supernatural scale. So zero meaning you don't believe in ghosts at all. You're super skeptical, much like our sweet JJ used to be. 10 meaning you absolutely believe ghosts are real. 100% know they exist. Tanya, where do you kind of fall on that scale?
I would say I'm pretty at 7.
Seven, a solid cool. 7. Awesome.
Yeah, I've had my experiences, but I always try to keep like a logical mind about it. But there's some times where it's kind of like, oh my goodness, how do I explain that?
And would you say you've always kind of felt open to the idea that ghosts are out there, or were you more skeptical prior to, you know, having your own experience?
So I've always kind of believed it even when I was little. I grew up in a Catholic household. So my mom always told us, you know, we have souls. If we're good, we go to heaven. If we're bad, we go to hell. If it's kind of like in the gray area, we stay. And we just kind of keep repeating the same thing. My dad always was very superstitious. He also had experiences too. So it's try to keep it like in the middle, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So I think this is the first guest we've had where their parents kind of, I guess it's not necessarily purgatory that you're talking about. So you're saying you were kind of taught that if you're neutral, your soul just kind of lingers on earth. Was that fair to say?
Yeah.
I guess it would depend how good heaven is and how bad hell is, what I would want to choose out of that. I mean, it might be kind of cool to hang around on earth. You know, I don't know.
It's funny. Me and my fiance were just talking about if we would stay as ghosts. And I was like, you know what? I'd want to be like a little bit of a trickster, kind of like, hide the remote, move a picture frame, just kind of like mess with people a little. I wouldn't want to like scare them, but I just want to inconvenience them just a little.
Kat, I feel like you would be a trickster ghost.
You think?
Yeah. I feel like you would especially hide stuff of JJ's just to irritate him.
Yeah. Aww.
Look, Kat wouldn't need to hide my stuff. I'm like, every day is a battle of where's my phone, where's my wallet.
I feel like he already has like a ghost playing tricks on him. It's weird. But yeah, I feel like I'd be the ghost that it just like spies on everyone and like gets the lowdown on everyone and then like goes to other people and like whispers their secrets. So like and just like spreads rumors as a ghost. Like that sounds fun for me. I want to know
all. That would be fun.
The ghost with the hot gossip. That would be a pretty fun ghost. I get behind that. So Tanya, the way we kind of approach this podcast is we're all skeptics. We're all kind of different levels of skepticism, I would say. Early on, I think it'd be fair to say we were all probably more skeptical than we are at this point after doing so many episodes and hearing so many stories. But we're skeptics that want to believe in ghosts. So we love having people on and hearing their stories. Now, I know you had several instances of hauntings that you shared online. Would you mind sharing some of those with us today?
Absolutely. So the very first time that I ever experienced anything, we were living in this house in Houston, and this house was built in like, I would say like the late 70s, early 80s, around that time frame. I was about maybe 5 years old, 5 or 6, and I had woken up in the middle of the night. I needed to use the bathroom. My bedroom was right across from my parents and right next to my room was my brother's, and we had this long hallway that led to the living room, kitchen, etc. And right in the middle was the bathroom, and it was super dark. I mean, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's asleep. I walk out my room and I'm summoning up all the courage to get to the bathroom because that hallway always freaked me out. I had the light of my nightlight illuminate a little bit. But I saw there's this tall figure standing at the end of the hallway. It was tall and it was skinny and it was pitch black. And it was like the kind of black that stands out even in the dark. So So I was just staring at this thing. I was frozen, and it crouched down and it came at me. And as soon as that happened, like I screamed and I woke up my parents. I woke everyone up. My dog was going crazy, just barking. And my dog was sleeping in my brother's room, and my brother's had the door closed. So she was just clawing at the door. She was barking. My dad comes out. I'm in the middle. I'm screaming. I'm crying. And I had to sleep in my parents' room for like the next year, basically. Because I couldn't sleep alone. I couldn't sleep in the dark. And I was super scared of that hallway. And I was always talking about what I would call the shadow man. That's the only way I could describe this thing. Nothing really happened for like the next couple of months. But I remember this one time I was 7. I had a sleep paralysis. I was sleeping in my parents' room. And they had this little couch, like a loveseat couch. I was sleeping on that couch and I woke up. But it's like I could move my eyes. I knew I was awake, but I couldn't move my body. I couldn't talk. I couldn't move. I felt like I couldn't breathe. And right in front of, right by my feet, was the man. He was standing over me, and he was just staring. And I knew he was staring at me. And my parents, like the way that a couch was placed, it was placed right in front of the door that led to the hallway. So he was standing right there, and I laid there for what felt like hours, which really was probably like 10 seconds before I was able to move, and I screamed. I freaked out my parents, so I slept in the bed with them. I couldn't sleep at all. I could hear my dad sleep talking, saying, "Leave her alone, get out." So that would freak me out even more. You know, like little things would happen. Like I would be in the bathroom. My mom would be taking my brothers to school, and I would hear the door open, and I'd hear just like, it sounded like somebody had opened the door from the garage, walked into the house, walked down the hallway, opened the door to my parents' bedroom, and walked into the walked towards the bathroom. And I would call out like, "Mom, you there?" Like, so I would just think my mom's back. No one would answer, so I would peek out, and there would nobody would be there. So it freaked me out, and I'd be like, "Okay, it's nothing. I'm thinking things." I just started telling myself that. And my brother was having the same issue, because I have two brothers. My oldest brother, he never really experienced anything. He would always sleep through the night. If something creepy would happen, he would just turn away. He's very skeptical, and he still is. My other brother, he experienced a lot. Almost as much as I did. Yeah. Like it was always the same dark figure. I would always hear like tapping on the window by my bed and my bedroom. And I would call out to my dad. I would tell him, "Dad, there's somebody outside and they're tapping on the window and they won't stop and scaring me." My dad would go out and there would be nobody. My brother would always tell me, "Oh, well, I used to sneak out a lot and they would tap on my window a lot to let me know that they were there, my friends." But I'm like, "Okay, well, your window's right there. My window's over here. Why are they tapping on my window?" And then he was like, "Well, I don't know."
But your brother did see the shadow man as well?
Yeah, he would always see it by the door is where he would always hang out. And my other brother never saw it. I guess the shadow man had no interest in him. It was just me, my brother, and my dad is who he went for. My mom, when she would get scared and something weird would happen, she would just start praying and it would stop. The minute she would start praying, and she was a very devout Catholic, my mom is an angel. She would just start praying and it would stop. My dad, he would always feel somebody tugging at his feet, and he would feel somebody like sitting on the bed with right next to him. One time he told me when I was much older that there was one day that, it was just him in the house, and he was outside just doing some yard work, and he saw somebody inside his bedroom just walking around, just like a dark person just walking around. So he thought somebody's broken into my house. So my dad, he bolts in there, and he's just kind of going all over the place, looking everywhere to find this guy, screaming out, "Where are you? I know you're in here." And nothing. There was nobody. Like the back door was locked. All the windows were locked. The only door that was open was the garage, and he was right next to the garage. When he told me that, it just gave me even more, like, chills.
It definitely feels like your dad, like, I don't know, either didn't tell you as many of the stories that he actually has experienced, or, like, it, especially because you, like, hear him call out in the night, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about that that night where you did hear him say, like, leave her alone. Does he remember dreaming about you being in danger, or does he remember anything from that?
No, when I had asked him about that a few years ago, he didn't really mention it. He was just kind of like, oh, well, I mean, I always dreamt about you. You're my baby girl. So I was always dreaming about you. I don't know. Sometimes there would be something scaring you, and I just would tell him to go away, and he would go away.
Have you ever looked into the history of the house to see if anything haunting ever happened there?
I didn't, because I just didn't want to confirm that something bad had happened. I remember one time when I was like in fourth grade. I don't remember where I heard this. I remember it being from either one of my brothers, but I don't know if it's true, if they were just messing with me. And we never confirmed it. We never looked into it. But one time he told me that there was a guy that used to live in the house, and he was like a real mean person. He was really bad, but he was also really depressed and ended up killing himself in the house. But I just told them, I don't believe you. I don't think that happened. And even to this day, I think it was just something that they just told me to scare me. So I never really thought about it. I was thinking of it recently about different things that happened in the house. Like one time I remember during Christmas time, I was sleeping in the living room, and I had my brothers were next to me, and I had my my cousin right next to me sleeping on the couch. And I woke up and I saw something standing right next to the Christmas tree. And it was like Christmas Eve too, so everyone was asleep. So I just saw the dark figure right next to the Christmas tree. So I just told myself, it's Santa. And I just went to sleep. Oh. But now I'm older, I'm like, that wasn't Santa.
Going back to the shadow man crouching in your corner, and I'm sorry if this brings up like past memories, because I also experienced something where like I was so scared to even like go up the stairs or go into my bathroom without checking the door, without, you know, looking under my bed. I also slept on a cot in my parents' room for like a year or so because I was so scared to be alone. And that's what validates your story so much for me, because we haven't really had anyone come on and be like, this happened to me and I couldn't go into my room for a whole year. And usually they're like, the ghost is nice, or we don't care. So can you describe like what that, I mean, he like leaped at you from the corner. We've heard about the shadow man, but not him doing really much except like lurking.
Like he crouched almost like he was ready to like lunge at me. But it's like, as soon as he did, I screamed. And that's when my parents woke up and he was gone. So he just, like, he moved towards me. And I think that motion just freaked me out. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, when I think about it, it gives me goosebumps.
Now, did I read that your brother has a tattoo of that shadow man on him?
He, not of the shadow man, but there was one time when we were little, my grandma was really sick. She was really sick in the hospital, and we knew she was going to die soon. And during that time, there was a lot of anger happening in my dad's side of the family, because it was my grandma on my dad's side. And with her dying, and my grandpa also in the hospital, and he was also dying, but both of them dying practically at the same time. One night, I couldn't sleep. I was I had my lights on. I was watching TV. I was already kind of experiencing things. Like I was trying to pull the covers, but something was holding it. So I was pulling as hard as I could, and I couldn't get the covers to go over me. And I felt like I could see a face in my closet. So I was already on edge. And I had this feeling that I needed to look outside. Like, I don't know what told me that I needed to look outside, but I needed to look outside. So I turn around and I peek out through the blind. And in my backyard, we had this big, like, wooden play place with a bright yellow slide. This slide, it stuck out a lot in the, even in the dark, it was such a bright yellow. But I looked out and I saw this thing that was sitting on the edge of the slide. It had like kind of like bird-like wings and a really long beak.
It's like the Mothman. Have you ever looked that up before?
I've looked that up, but it wasn't like that. Okay. It had like a really long beak, almost like a crow, but like even longer. And it looked like it was really tall because it had its knees like brought up to its chest and it was hugging it. And its eyes were bright red. And it was just looking down, just hugging itself. And it looked up really sharp, but it looked to the left, not to where my window was, but to where my brother's window was. It looked straight at it, held it for like a few seconds, and then started to slowly turn towards my window. And when that happened, I freaked out. I screamed. My dad went outside. There was nothing there. So we didn't think we didn't talk about it for years. But then, you know, like that morning that we woke up, my dad had gotten a call that my grandma had passed away that night. So it freaked us out about it for years. And then, you know, one day before my brother had the tattoo, we were just kind of sitting around. We had already moved out of that house. My brother, he was already like graduated high school. We were a lot older. We were just sitting down. We were talking about different things that happened in the house, just kind of reminiscing. And he was telling me about that night. And he was like, yeah, you know, I don't know. He was like, I don't know what's going on with you, but I had the scariest moment. Like there was this thing that was on the slide. It had a long beak. It had like bird-like wings. It was hugging itself and it looked straight at me and it made eye contact. And he was just frozen with fear. And even when he was talking about it, like he was kind of getting chills. And I was like staring at him like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah, like I saw that. And, you know, I went to sleep and then just, I kept dreaming about it. I kept thinking about it. And I told him like, dude, I saw the same thing. Like I saw that on the slide that night. That's why I screamed. Wow. And so that freaked him out. But he was like, but after he saw that, he started to kind of act out a lot. And when he was acting out, I was getting very to myself, very timid, very awkward and very to myself. While he was just acting out, he was just going crazy, doing all these crazy things. But then like one day he just gets this massive tattoo. He did it by himself. Like he tattooed himself. All by memory, and I wish I had a picture to show it, but he doesn't have any of his own tattoos on Facebook, just the ones that he did for other people. And I asked him, but he hasn't texted me back.
Oh man, yo! If he ends up sending you that, please pass that along. I would love to. I think we would all love to see that.
Yeah.
Was that just crazy validating though? When he said that he saw that figure, that had to just blow your mind.
It did. And like, and growing up, like I said, the main people that was experiencing was me, my brother, and my dad. Me and my brother weren't very close growing up, but at that time we had grown a really good bond, and he was like my confidant. So when he told me that, it just like, it blew my mind, but it felt like it just kind of strengthened our bond. So it was just like a nice, like, it made me realize, like, hey, I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
he saw it too, and it did the same thing for him. Like, I'm not crazy. She saw it too.
Have you guys ever looked online to see if anybody else has seen something like that before?
No, actually, I don't think any of us have. We just kind of like we didn't talk about it for years and years. And it was only recently, like maybe like 7 years, not recently, but like 7 years ago. When we were talking about that, and it still just like blows my mind. But I remember he said that he once looked into what that thing was, and he said it was kind of like a demon, but He was kind of like, I don't know. Like, it was just something that we just couldn't explain what it was.
Right. Man, I feel like if I saw that, the last thought in my mind would be to tattoo it on myself.
Yeah, I was, he kind of saw it as like some, it was like a major point in his life. Something that just really scared him to the point where it kind of like altered his personality. Mm-hmm. And he grew from that, and he's an amazing person now. He's a fantastic father, really talented, and completely like just turned his life around. And he kind of like gives tribute to that one night.
And I'm sure that probably makes him feel like he can take ownership over that moment by having it on his body as well.
Yeah.
I bet it's a really dope looking tattoo too. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he did it like when he was still learning. So it still looks really cool. Next time I see him, I'm definitely going to get a picture of that.
Yeah.
And I'll send it directly to you guys.
Please. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'd love to. If you are cool, we would love to post it on Instagram so where our followers can see
it. Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that is horrifying. I don't think I don't know. I mean, JJ and Kat, what would you do if you saw something like that? I feel like I don't know if I could come back from that moment.
I mean, what resonated the most with me, what you said was, you know, when you saw the tattoo, it just like it confirmed in your mind that other people had seen it and that you weren't crazy. Because I feel like if I had seen what you had seen, I would have just been like, all right, well, time to go check into a little hospital or something. So, right. You know, I don't know. Like, it sounds so out there and far-fetched, but the fact that there's multiple witnesses, it's hard to explain how that could happen.
Yeah. And when I think about it, and when I tell like my friends about it, like they don't really like, they believe that I believe that happened.
Yeah.
But it's like knowing that, just me knowing that he saw it too, kind of like, okay, you can believe me, or you cannot believe me, but you know, I have my brother who saw it and definitely knows that I'm not crazy.
Have you guys ever talked to a medium or a psychic about your experiences?
No, I kind of was really hesitant about going to psychic because I don't want to be told that I'm still being followed by the Shadow Man. Because though I, for years, I never had any experiences. When we moved out, it was kind of like, that was it. Like the last night, the only thing that I heard that kind of scared me, but at that point I was just used to it and I was just ready to go. I heard a large slam, we have like an attic door that you pull and when you let go, it slams. So at like 3 o'clock in the morning, something pulled down that attic door, let it go, and it slammed. And I heard like boxes fall in the attic and footsteps going across like from my room to my brother's. And I was so tired when that happened. I like was like, you know what? I don't care. Make your noise, do whatever.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Let me sleep.
Wow.
So the next day we move out and nothing happens for a long time. For years seemed pretty much. But then one day I was moving in my first apartment with my boyfriend, my fiance now. We had moved the bed into the living room because we like to watch TV when we fall asleep, and we always pass out in the living room. So we're like, you know what? We're adults. We're gonna put the bed in the living room. Who cares? Yeah. So I was sleeping right next to him, and I was having this dream that I was in my bedroom, my old bedroom. And the thing about my old bedroom was the walls were pink with Barbie wallpaper at the very top. I was super into Barbie. So I had that all around.
I think Noah had that as well.
I did, yeah. Yeah, and I had a race car bed and Barbie lining on the top.
So I have this dream, like I'm in my old bedroom and I see right in the corner was the Shadow Man. And it freaked me out. Like my heart started pumping. I woke up, but I didn't wake. Like I was in sleep paralysis. I could see my living room, but it was like behind my old bedroom. It was weird. It was like my old bedroom, like I was still in my old bedroom and it was fading into my living room, but I could still see the Shadow Man in the corner. And I was freaking out, like I'm hyperventilating. My heart was pumping really hard. I couldn't move. I couldn't, like, I was freaking, absolutely freaking out. So I'm trying to move my hand to touch my boyfriend. So I finally am able to touch him. And the second I do, it's gone. I sit up, I gasp, I'm freaking out, and he was able to calm me down and we go back to sleep. And I just kind of put it out of my mind. I was like, you know what? It was a dream. Like I woke up in the middle of a dream is what that was, or middle of a nightmare.
Yeah. Hardest thing to tell. I've had sleep paralysis a few times and we talk about it in some other episodes as well, but I really feel like you have no escape. And so the only things that move are like your fingers. So you're trying to like slowly wake up your whole body. And in my head, I'm like, surely everyone can see how vulnerable I am, that I'm stuck in here, but nobody, like, you're just trapped in your own head. It's so scary.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that the Shadow Man was holding your hand when you reached over for your boyfriend's.
Oh, I would die. That'd be it. All right, I'm out.
Sleep paralysis is the worst. I don't know. I've had some of that too. And one of my friends, Nicole, she has had that with the Shadow Man. And he would just like appear at the end of her bed and just stare at her until she woke up. You know, it's weird how that's a thing that happens to people. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They just sit down at breakfast with us or like go to the grocery store. Why do they just sit at the end of, like, you know, like why do they just stand there and stare at you?
I know. It's almost rude.
Yeah.
It's rude and creepy, but they're doing it on purpose. They're trickster ghosts.
Or why couldn't you wake up to like an adorable little spirit kitten sitting up the other end of the bed?
Yeah, I don't know. If I saw a kid, like a spirit kid sitting on my bed, I'd be a little freaked out.
Oh, a kitten.
Oh, kitten. Oh, yeah. Kids, freaky. Kittens, adorable.
Oh, yes. Yes. Like kittens and puppies.
Or a bunny. Well, bunny would be weird.
Like
yeah,
a Donnie Darko bunny.
Donnie Darko.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tanya, did your dad have an experience in the woods? Did I read that as well too?
Yes. So that he told me this story one time when I was like in junior high. My dad had grown up in a kind of like a rural area of Texas. It was kind of like a 2-hour drive north of Houston. And he would go hunting a lot, and my grandpa would go hunting a lot too, and so would my uncle. So one day or one morning, my dad woke up. They had planned to go on a hunting trip early in the morning, but my dad had woken up before the sun came out, and he was like, I want to go hunting now. Now is a good time. You know, it's dark, everything's kind of hidden, everyone's starting to wake up. It's a good time. So he gets everything ready. He goes up to my uncle. He kind of tries to wake him up. He's like, hey, let's go hunting. Come on, let's go. And, my uncle is like, no, go away. Leave me alone. I want to sleep. So he was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm going to go by myself. So he leaves and he's walking in the woods and he's walking for like at least like a good 40 minutes. And then like slowly the sun's starting to kind of come up. But he started getting this weird feeling that something was staring at him and he was looking all around. He didn't see anything. So he just kind of ignored it and just kept going, kept searching for deer. So all he had was just like his flashlight for when it was still dark. like a bag of trail mix and his gun. So he is walking around, just kind of hunting, and he starts getting that feeling again. And he hears like something walking up to him. Like he hears like the twig snapping. He's looking all over. He doesn't see anything. And then he starts hearing a really, really, really creepy laugh. Like it was like, it was hard to describe. It didn't sound masculine, but it didn't sound feminine. It just sounded off. So he just heard this laughter, like just kind of in all sorts of directions. And he thinks it's someone messing with him. So he's kind of, you know, he was kind of a tough guy. So he yelled out, "Whoever you are, just know I'm armed and I will not hesitate to shoot." So you know, he doesn't see anything, the laughter stops, and then it starts up again, and then it starts getting louder and louder, and he starts running around because he's trying to find this voice. He's thinking it's my uncle, but it's like he's calling out to my uncle. He's not hearing anything, just the laughter. So it gets so intense that all he can hear is just that hysterical laugh. And then it stops. And then he hears like a dark, like a deep voice say, "I'm going to get you." And then it started laughter again. And he just bolted. Like he started running and he heard it even more. It was getting so intense. He crouches down. He's like grabbing his ears. He's getting super scared. And he just pulls the trigger. And as soon as he pulled the trigger, it stopped. Like that feeling, that scared, heavy feeling was gone. Nothing was there. And he was like, "You know what? I'm done." So he just he heads back. Nothing happens on his way back. And he was a good, you know, he was like at least a good, like almost an hour of a walk. But he walked the rest of the way back. Nothing else happened, but he was still super shaken up about it. He told my grandpa about it, and all my grandpa said was, "Just don't go into the woods alone. Like, never go into the woods alone." And even as my dad was a lot older, he would still go hunting, and he would still go hunting in the same woods, but he would never go alone. Even as an old man, he would never go hunting in those woods alone.
Wow, that's saying something, I feel like.
So did he feel like your grandfather had experienced something in the woods, or was it just kind of general advice he was giving?
I think it was a little bit of both. My grandma was very, very superstitious. Whenever I would go visit her, she would have just a bunch of rosaries on one wall, and on the floor right next to the door was like a glass dish filled with salt water and eggs. And I asked her about it. I was like, "Why is that there? Like, the whole house is going to smell like eggs." And she was like, "No, it won't. But it's gonna keep evil spirits from coming into the house." Mm. And she would always do like, you know, little things like that. She would put salt on the doors, like on the doorways. She would like burn sage. She would pray a lot. She was just very superstitious. And my grandpa, he was kind of just like, "I don't care." He always had that "I don't care" attitude.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
You have definitely had some stories. My goodness.
Yeah. It's interesting, this trend we're seeing with guests where it's not just the individual guest who is haunted. It seems the haunting seems to go through multiple members of the family. I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah, it's creepy, I feel, but it's also kind of like interesting because it's really cool hearing, you know, these stories from my dad, and it just kind of like makes me think like my dad believes in ghosts, and you know, he would tell me just kind of like little ghost stories here and there, how he would wake up at night because he could feel something tugging at his feet and stuff. Even when we moved into our other house, he would sometimes feel little like tugs at his feet. I never experienced anything in my old house, and neither did my brother, but my dad would always feel like little tugs at his feet.
Wow. And you have a black cat?
Yes, his name is Jack. His full name is Special Agent Jack Bauer.
Yes, love it.
Well, Tanya, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing those stories. That the Shadow Man is one of those ones that really fascinates me just because it's such a shared experience with so many people. And we do hear about it from time to time. But this is the first one, or the first guest I can remember that has had such an in-depth experience with the Shadow Man. So it's kind of cool to hear you and your family's perspective. And it just sounds horrifying. I'm glad it doesn't seem like you have to deal with it too much anymore. So that's good.
No, thank goodness. Only every once in a while I'll feel like in the corner of my eye, just something dark move. But I don't think about it. And I'm just like, you know, I wear glasses, so I just see my, like the little legs of my glasses just kind of catching my eye.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of tell myself, or if I have like sleep paralysis and I see something, I just tell myself, it's a dream. I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
It's all in my head.
That's all you can do, you know? I see spiders sometimes with sleep paralysis, and it's happened so much throughout my life where like I just almost go back to sleep. Like I'm just like, there's no giant spider dropping on my face. It's gonna suck if it happens where it is a giant spider dropping on my face and I just allow that to happen, but I think it'd be a little harder with a giant man staring at me, so spiders are a little easier. Well, did you guys have any more questions for Tanya before we get her out of here?
No, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your stories with us.
Yeah, thank you. That was really cool.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
it was really fun, and I'm definitely look forward to seeing any other things.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know if you have any more experiences.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Share my experience.
This is one of those episodes where I hope that it doesn't like give me nightmares, because when you just hear somebody say something like that over and over and over, I just start to go like, okay, yeah, she probably dealt with something growing up. It sounds like they had something horrifying they all dealt with.
Yeah, for sure. I was actually thinking about the Shadow Man and how, you know, when we first started, I mean, we've like heard a lot of stories about, you know, people calling this thing a Shadow Man standing over their bed. And, you know, I guess when that first started like popping up every now and then, I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. Maybe there is something to that. But then I was just thinking about how like I have really random dreams where my teeth are falling out.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's a really common thing that a bunch of people have. It's just like something in our subconscious. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm maybe a little more skeptical about the Shadow Man, but obviously, Tanya's story about him was a lot more involved than others.
Than just like sleep paralysis. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not sure how you can explain away some of those things that she was describing.
Yeah, I think what scared me the most was the story of that demon creature on the slide outside of her house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys watch Gargoyles growing up?
Or yes.
I watched a couple.
I love that show.
That's what that reminded me of. It was like, was there a gargoyle in her yard? Like, whenever I hear like giant winged creature, just like, but it really reminded me. Have you ever seen the Mothman Prophecies?
No, I haven't.
I watched that show, The Magicians, and they talked about the Mothman.
Yeah,
he was like the main villain in it.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah, when I watched that movie, I was pretty young, and it freaked me out because they had these like audio recordings that would play in the movie, and it just sounded like, and it was like the Mothman like calling this person on the phone. It was just like these demonic noises.
No.
And people claim that like that's a real thing. You go online and you can find where people claim in that area that happened, but I think like most of the Mothman stuff has been debunked. Like it was just some giant weird bird that was flying around at night. But it did kind of sound like what she was describing is what people were seeing, was like a giant man bird demon creature, you know. I just don't know, like, go ahead, Kat, I'm sorry.
It just reminds me of, like, Good Spy versus Bad Spy. Remember that comic?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember?
They did have those weird geek faces.
They did, didn't they?
I really want to see her brother's tattoo. I'm very curious of what his memory of that thing is.
Yeah, I did too.
It's always interesting when like artists are haunted and then they can like create renderings of whatever these weird things are that they saw. The bird thing, it's probably one of the creepier things we've had on the episode. So did the bird and the shadow man and all the creaking and the voice in the woods, did that move the needle for you guys, or how are you feeling after this episode?
I feel like my needle is kind of just stuck at 5.
The needle.
It feels like being on the fence is a nice, comfortable place for me.
Yeah. Okay. So I
feel like the needle, not necessarily for ghosts, but the needle for like positive people giving other people who think they're experiencing negative things confidence and energy. Does that make sense?
Are you talking about like her mom who was praying for her?
Or was it her mom or her grandma?
Her mom was very religious. Her grandmother was very, not supernatural. What do you call it?
Superstitious.
Superstitious. And very like had like eggs and salt and stuff.
Yeah.
Riding on the wall. Well, wait. Well, what I meant from that. Excuse me, I was trying to sing and you were going to interrupt me. But what I meant from that is also a common thing that we hear is that people have learned to say some sort of mantra or some sort of prayer to keep these experiences away from them. And it sounds like she was very influenced by her mother saying those prayers.
Yeah.
So I like this concept of like light versus dark and evil versus like pure or like, you know.
Yeah, light. For sure. It kind of seems like the message is like take ownership of what's happening and then cast these things out, you know, like she was saying. Mm-hmm. She would yell at the experience and then it would be over, you know.
All right, so this is where I feel like I'm very different from a lot of people, because you guys are like put out light and take ownership of the experience. Yeah. And I'm like, you just trick your brain into believing that a prayer is a thing. And then you get a placebo effect.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying too. My needle moves in the fact that doing good and saying good things and being positive is helpful for people that are more pessimistic or I don't know, feeling maybe subconsciously they're feeling down or something's going on in their lives that are creating situations in their brain or chemically in their brain. I'm not saying this is all you, Jason.
I think positive thoughts.
Yeah, I do feel attacked.
I don't know. It's like, and then again, we do get these really positive people that are like, yeah, there's ghosts that live in my attic and laugh in my wall and it's fine.
Yeah. I think anxiety for me personally has a lot to do with that stuff. It triggers my insomnia and then that usually starts to trigger like sleep paralysis. And then that, you know, it just kind of feeds, all that stuff kind of feeds together, especially during the pandemic. Like I'd finally kicked insomnia, like the first part of the pandemic, I just couldn't sleep from stress and just kind of being freaked out. And then now it's back. Like this week, it's been really, really bad. I've been getting like 2 to 4 hours of sleep a night, which is fun, especially when you have a baby, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll figure it out, you know, the pandemic blues, as I like to call it. But yeah, I don't know how you guys are doing, but like I've started kind of doing the math on how, like, realistically, like how long all this is going to take. And like, it's a little daunting to think about like how long we're going to be in isolation. I mean, I think we're going to find ways to hang out with our friends, like in social distance, you know, but it's still not, at least for me, like that, while that's nice and it's a nice placeholder, it's like for an extrovert, like it's not the same thing.
I feel you.
Yeah. Well, I remember thinking at the beginning of this whole thing, I was like, well, we'll probably be like, you know, pretty much back to normal by my birthday. My birthday is tomorrow.
Oh.
And we're nowhere near normal. And now I'm like, we'll probably be back to normal like sometime in 2021.
Yeah. I I think I heard that they're aiming to, like, on the early side to get a vaccine out in February. But, like, that's, like, I mean, that's really early. Usually phase three takes, like, years, but they're going to do it in, like, 5 months and just see what happens, you know?
We're not going to see your baby until he's, like, six.
Dude, how weird is it that, like, he just thinks that there's two giant things in the world and that's it? Like, and the crazy thing is our neighbors have babies his age. Like, that was supposed to be the cool thing. Like, we're all, like, young couples that live in the same neighborhood and we all have babies at the same time. And, you know, I mean, it's weird. I don't know. I'm struggling. Like, I started thinking about, like, no Dragon Con. There's a thing in Miami I like to go to. Like, all these events, I was just like, man, they're all just just canceled. And then we've got this short with that Andy's going to direct. And it's like we have to wait until the shit's over before we can film it,
right? You
know? And it's just, but we are going to do a live table read in mid-August, so I'm excited about that. He's coming down to Atlanta, and I'm gonna set up in the driveway a big social distance table read. So,
oh, fun!
At least that'll feel like a thing, you know. But well, JJ, I will honk my horn at my house tomorrow for your birthday. So just know that honk is for you. I'll go out there and blow it. I did ask the fans that have been emailing us recently. I always like to ask, like, what their favorite episodes are and stuff. And one of them said our Christmas episode. She was like, I really needed that. And they were like, JJ did such a good job being Scrooge. And I was like, oh, you don't even know.
I loved it too.
It's like one of my favorite things.
Guess who hasn't heard it all the way through still?
Guess who had to stop listening to it?
JJ, you're so good at it. Like, you're the star of the show.
Oh. We should do another one like that soon.
No. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just because one person said it was their favorite. No.
It really threw me off though, because it's always about the scary stuff. And like, that's an episode I'm really proud of that we, you know, because it's just very, it's really us, what we like to do, you know, it's improv and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So for somebody to acknowledge it, I was like, oh my God, they really went through our archive to get to the Christmas episode.
Also, I was thinking, one, we could get Devin back on, and two, we should contact James. Do you remember the guy in Midtown who had like the ghost? That would be really cool to check in and like see how things are going.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of agree with you guys. Like, I'm getting to a point where the needle necessarily isn't moving. I'm sure eventually we'll have something on that, like, kind of like the doppelganger episode. It just kind of either blows us away or just freaks us out so much that, quote unquote, the needle does move. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed her accent. I forgot how much I love a Texas accent. And just being in Atlanta, I just don't really hear accents that much anymore. That was kind of fun. But her story definitely scared me. It always scares me when people are like super calm and chill about their stories, and their stories are horrifying. Like, for some reason, that in and of itself always scares me a little bit. But yeah, it was cool. I hope I don't have nightmares about this bird creature, but I do want to see the tattoo. So hopefully she can get that to us.
Yeah.
But very cool. Very cool. All right, guys. Well, thank you for checking out another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. We're so excited of all the work our fans are doing. We've seen your post. Somebody tagged us in something on Instagram this week. It's very cool. And I know a lot of you guys are finding us on Spotify right now. So shout out to all our new fans checking us out on Spotify. We definitely appreciate you guys, and spread the word, you know, let all your friends know about this podcast. We don't make any money or anything off of this. We do it because we love doing it, and we love getting to interact with you guys and hear these fascinating stories. We super appreciate all you guys. With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Kat.
I'm JJ. Woo!